This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
All right. Well, we are continuing our series this morning. And over the last 2 weeks, we have been on quite a trip. We began talking about travel agents and destinations. For as Scripture says, we are not of this world, we are merely passing through, right? So we have to be careful and know what travel agent we are using, either the thief or Jesus. Because they both have destinations in mind for us. The thief would love for you to end up in hell with him and his minions. However, Jesus said that he had gone ahead of us and prepared a place for those who love him in heaven. Last week, we looked at the life of Joseph and discovered that along life's journey, there will be roadblocks that come up in our path. Joseph had quite a few thrown in his direction, but with the Lord's help, he remained true and fulfilled the purpose that God had for him. Then we concluded the message with a powerful truth that what the enemy means for evil, God can turn for good. Remember, we talked to Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So now we've reached week 3. So let's dive in. Have you ever noticed how some people pack for a weekend trip? Like they're moving to another country. It's just 2 nights, but somehow they've got a suitcase that could survive a zombie apocalypse. 4 pairs of shoes, 6 outfits just in case, a full-size bottle of shampoo, you know, a backup pillow, and because you never know, a snorkel and some snow boots, right? In July. And of course, the suitcase is so overstuffed, the zipper's holding on by sheer prayer. And the moment they try to lift it, boom, the handle snaps, and now they're dragging it through the airport like it's full of bricks, sweating, frustrated, and muttering, "Why did I bring all of this?" To be honest, this is me. I am that person. I am a chronic overpacker. I'm having to pack for 2 weeks for general counsel, and you should see my suitcase. I've got everything I can think of in there, plus extra. And it doesn't matter if I'm going 1 night or for 2 weeks. I way overpack. I can never decide what I'm going to wear. I can never decide, well, you know, what if I want to dress nice? You know, what if we go to a nice restaurant? What if we go to the beach? We're going to the mountains. What if it's cold? So I got to prepare for every little thing. Because you just never know when something crazy is going to happen. And you need an extra set of clothes, right? Right? See, I got a witness over here. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to look at the fact that as we walk through life, we tend to pick up unnecessary baggage. Sometimes it's even unintentional. But so many of us live our lives this way. We're dragging through life and carrying way more than we need. Whether it be past hurts or guilt or anxiety or expectations, or the load just keeps growing. And it's frustrating. And it's exhausting. And it grows and it grows and it grows and gets heavier and heavier until eventually something breaks. But what if God never meant for you to carry all of it? What if he's inviting you to travel light this morning? In Hebrews chapter 12, we find a familiar couple of verses that I want us to focus our attention on this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So for the remainder of our time together this morning, we're going to break this down and learn what it means to travel light. But before we do that, can we pray and just ask the Lord's blessing on today's message and that he would do what only he can do. Amen. Would you make that your prayer today, that Lord, do what only you can do today? Join me. Father, we thank you this morning for the precious time that we have together in this place as a church family. And Lord, we just ask, God, that as we dive into your word, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak and us the ears to hear what you're saying to us, Father. And Lord, I believe, God, that as your word goes forth, that truth is declared, Lord, that you would bring freedom in this place today. Lord, we ask, God, that you would do what only you could do. For it's not about a man, but it's about you, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you would have your way in the remainder of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The first thing I want us to dive into is that we have a tendency of overpacking the soul. We live in a culture that sells and believes that more is better. More success, more security, more money, more approval, more things, more. And the more stuff that we have, the happier we will be. But the reality is, in our striving to get more, to go on to that next thing, we pick up more than needed. We overpack and the load becomes unbearable. You'll notice from our central passage this morning that the writer of Hebrews tells us, he says, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I'll say it again. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The King James Version says it like this: let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us. Obviously, you'll notice that this verse isn't just talking about sin. If you notice, there was an "and" in that verse. When we're talking about everything that hinders, we have to look deeper than our sin. We know that sin traps us. We know that sin binds us up. We know that when we're walking against the Lord, that entangles us in chains that we're not meant to walk in. But if we look a little deeper, we look at those things that hinder and the things that add weight upon weight. Because some of us aren't stuck because of our rebellion, we're stuck because of our baggage. Some of us aren't stuck because of our rebellion. We're stuck because of our baggage. See, I got this old dilapidated suitcase and, you know, the arm just doesn't really want to come out. It's been used and just abused and thrown around. And, you know, I've been just carrying it around so long. And it gets really heavy. It wasn't supposed to do that. But it gets really heavy. And you know, when we go through life and we drag on our baggage, we don't pay it any attention until it decides it wants to say hello. But we've overpacked our suitcase. See, there's not any room. It's full. There's not any room in here for anything. But yet, the baggage comes in many forms. You see, we have guilt that we like to pack in our baggage. You know, the past mistakes that we've made, even though we may have been forgiven, It constantly likes to say hello and hound you and say, you're not good enough. You know, Jesus, he can't take that from you. That was just a myth. And then we like to carry some shame around. They're walking in the lie that you are your sin. That's what defines you. And you walk around with shame and guilt and, man, this suitcase is already, you know, overflowing here this morning. But what about unforgiveness? We walk around with unforgiveness, carrying an old offense like a heavy stone in your bag. No, that's a weight you were never meant to carry. What about fear? Rehearsing worst case scenarios like it's a spiritual discipline. It sure is quiet in this Baptist church. What about control? We like to pack that in our bag too, don't we? Trying to manage everything so that God doesn't have to. Woo! I should probably tape that one to my forehead. Control. What about, you know, in the age of social media, some of us get this like syndrome. You know, we post to social media and if no one likes it, well, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I guess I'll just eat worms, you know? You want everybody to like you. You want everyone to like your post. I always make Jeanette and Becca go to our church page when I post something. I was like it and share it. We got to have that like or that heart on Instagram. Constantly measuring our worth by others' opinions. Now, none of these things will get you to where God's taking you. I mean, you might get to heaven with them, but you're going to be carrying way too much baggage. They only weigh you down and burn you out. But let's get a little more candid this morning, because, you know, there's more. What about worry? Is tomorrow going to be worse? How can I face what I have to face? And you know, and I'm just speaking of things that even I deal with. You know, as a pastor, when you not only do you worry about your own family, but you worry about your church family. You carry the burden of your church. So worry is a big one. How am I going to face it? About anxiety. You know, if we were to think about it, worry and anxiety are two peas in a pod. Amen? We're anxious. Studies show that we live in an anxious society now that was only made worse by COVID. I mean, I'm serious. You look at the studies. Anxiety and mental health are through the roof. They were already existing, but since COVID, it's been worse. We have anxiety. What about doubt? Do you think you're unworthy? That you're not good enough? Do you doubt that God could really forgive you? Do you doubt that he can heal you? Do you doubt that he has the provision enough to give you everything that you need? Doubt. Or we have rejection. We fear rejection sometimes. We carry that around with us. So much so that you won't even put yourself out there because you're afraid of being rejected. Oh man, that's an unnecessary weight. How about loneliness? You just feel like you're destined to be alone. And I remember sitting in my apartment in Lubbock before Jeanette and I got married, and I was talking to my mom. And I'll be honest with you, I was dealing with loneliness. I wanted to have a wife, a family. But in that moment, neither one were anywhere near in the picture. And I just sat there on my couch crying to my mother. I'm being open and real. Crying and open to my mom. I was alone. My mom would be crying to me, so she was sitting there crying with me. I get it from her. It's okay. I'm all right with it. But it's real. Loneliness is a weight that you don't have to carry. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. Although we've covered a lot of ground, there may be other things that add weight to your already full baggage. Over in the Old Testament, we find a man who many of us can relate to, and he relates to us in this moment. He suffered deeply in every aspect of life. Physically, he lost his wealth, his health, his children. Socially, he was alienated from his friends and his family. He was scorned by the public and betrayed by his closest friends. Spiritually, he felt forsaken by God, believing that the Lord had turned against him. And he just kept adding weight after weight after weight. His name is Job. And in Job chapter 7 and verse 11, he says, "Therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in anguish, in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." You see, he had thrown anxiety and bitterness in his bag. Anguish. He was carrying around, and Job is being brutally honest in this moment. He reached the point where the weight inside of him was too much to hold in. And he essentially says, "I can't take it anymore." And that's exactly where some of you may be this morning. On the outside, it may be business as usual. Composed and put together. But on the inside, you're carrying a weight that you were never meant to carry. Continuing on that path causes your posture to change. You see our backpacks here. You know, we try to shove it all, and then you know how it works. You know, you kind of do the whole, you know, arm trick to try to get it closed. You know, maybe even sit on it. Zipper still works. I was afraid it wasn't going to work. So we're carrying our bags around, and you know, it's so heavy. And so it changes your posture. You have to lean forward in order to even carry it. You're just trudging along, barely making it, one step at a time. You're carrying a weight that you were never meant to carry. You've overpacked your soul. Your pace slows down. You begin to strain. And eventually, it begins to affect every aspect of your life. Just like when you go to the airport and they weigh your bag. If it's overweight, you have two options. You can either pay the price to keep carrying it, or you can take some things out. Of all the times that we've flown, it never fails while we're at the airport, you see someone trying to take stuff out of their bag in order to make it work so they don't have to pay that fee. Some of you have been carrying over and overpacking your soul for years. layer after layer of emotional weight. But today, the Holy Spirit is inviting you to do what Job did, to open your mouth, open your heart, and start letting it out. For there is freedom in traveling light. Freedom in traveling light. Job had had enough. And if you know much about the story, Job may not have received all of the answers that he wanted. This didn't mean that he didn't still encounter problems. In fact, it got so bad at one point, his friends told him he should curse God and die. Some good friends. But towards the end of the story, along came a messenger by the name of Elihu. And he offers a glimmer of hope in the midst of Job's distress. In Job chapter 36, verse 16, he says, God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He is setting your table with the best food. Job 36, 16. I'll read it one more time. God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He is setting your table with the best food. Then if we jump over to chapter 38, Job has an encounter with God. And we find that Job begins to unpack his bag. He stopped holding it all in. He let out his bitterness. He let out his anguish. He took the weight that he was carrying alone, and he laid it at the feet of the Lord. At the end of the story, we find that Job is lighter. He's no longer carrying extra weight because he has seen the faithfulness of God even in the midst of the storm. He doesn't need to understand everything anymore because he's encountered the one who holds everything. Finally, in chapter 42, we see a candid response from Job to the Lord. Job chapter 42, starting in verse number 1. And it said, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, Job admits that he had questioned and even lost hope for a while. And he repents of what he now sees as foolishness. And Job sees restoration in his life. He finds a freedom that only comes from the Lord. This same freedom is offered to you and to me today. Remember back in our first passage that Hebrews encourages us to throw off or unpack things which are weighing us down. In Matthew chapter 11, we find Jesus teaching, and he gives the same invitation that Job discovered, that you don't have to carry what's crushing you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This may be a familiar passage of scripture to you. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This isn't an empty invitation this morning. It's a gracious call for us to bring our burdens to Him, to bring the troubles of this life and to bring our sins and to pick up His yoke. Now, if you're not familiar with farming, a yoke is a farming instrument that allows two animals, in this case it was typically oxen, to carry a load together. Jesus is saying to us that if we put our trust in him, that he will help to carry the load. He will free us from the insurmountable burdens and give us rest. It shifts, that yoke shifts the weight from us to him. Oh, listen to me this morning. This world is hard enough to carry it on our own. There is freedom in traveling light and allowing Jesus to help carry it all. But freedom begins with release. We often think that freedom comes when the situation changes, or when I fix this, or when they apologize, and so on. But here Jesus teaches us that freedom doesn't begin with control. It begins with surrender. Psalm 68, verse 19, it tells us. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." When we cast our cares, our troubles, our waste upon the Lord, he bears the weight with us and sustains us in every situation. Are you catching what I'm saying this morning? The weight is not yours to carry. The Apostle Peter, tells us in 1 Peter to cast you all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Hallelujah. His love and care for us is so great that he tells us to release it to him. To unpack the bags. And in the process of releasing, you see, you got to open up your bag and you got to let it go. If you have kids and grandkids, you're probably familiar with the song, "Let It Go, Let It Go. Can't hold it on anymore." That's what Jesus is telling us this morning. To release it. To let it go. And we're telling all of this stuff that we've packed in our bag. Shame. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we lay him at Jesus' feet. Oh, what about fear? It says, "I am no longer a slave to you." Anxiety, "I have no room for you in my life." Doubt, "I know who I am in Christ." Guilt, "I am no longer who I was. You have no hold on me." Unforgiveness, "I forgive you, and you don't control me anymore." Woo! We take each of these things that we overpacked in our bag, and we lay them at the foot of the cross, at Jesus' feet. And he picks up that yoke that you just laid down and begins to carry it. There's a popular song that says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God and my Savior has ransomed me." You have to release it this morning, church. Come on, I'm getting fired up, y'all. Jesus is able to carry what you cannot. Hallelujah. In the process of letting go, you'll notice that letting go makes room. You notice the exchange from the suitcase that you're carrying to the foot of the cross. And now look at all this awesome room in the suitcase. You know, it's light. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, tells us to do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Oh, but it doesn't just stop there. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we bring every anxious thought, when we bring every situation to the Lord in prayer, when you release it to Him, He doesn't leave us empty-handed. The peace of God enters the room. And it's not just any peace, but peace that doesn't make sense in human terms. The Lord comes in like a flood and guards our hearts. We know that Jesus is near and we don't have to overpack our bags anymore. It's a place that comes when we lay it down at His feet. The moment we let go, He steps in. Letting go doesn't mean giving up, it's giving over. Giving your burdens to the only one strong enough to carry them. Giving your anxiety to the one who already holds your future. Giving your brokenness to the one who heals. So I want us to ask ourselves today, what am I carrying that needs to be put at the feet of Jesus? Just think about it for just a moment. What am I carrying that needs to be put at the feet of Jesus? But let me just share one more thing before we close this morning. Traveling light is a daily choice. It would be nice if letting go was a one-time event. Like you drop your baggage at the altar and never see it again. But again, back in Hebrews chapter 12, we find that it tells us to run with perseverance. Running takes discipline. I have a friend who has ran marathons and done Ironman challenges and things like that. And he doesn't just get up one morning and say, "This sounds like fun." Of course, I don't know if you think getting up and running in the morning sounds fun. I'm going to pray for you this afternoon at the altar, or this morning still, I guess. But depending on the event, he has to train for months ahead of time. It takes tenacity. It takes grit. It takes a resolve in order to reach the finish line. It takes discipline. It's an everyday decision. Because anyone who's walked with Jesus for more than a few weeks can tell you that this life has a way of trying to repack your bags when you're not looking. You may have released bitterness once, but a memory brings it back. Or you bump into that one friend or that one friend at United. I got you. You bump into that one friend at United. And then all of a sudden, all that anger and bitterness begins to rise up. What you thought you had let go, when they walked into the room, your blood pressure rose. You may have given God your anxiety today or yesterday, but an email you just received just stirred it again. You laid down your fear in church, but it showed up on the car ride home. That doesn't mean you failed. It means you're human. And the enemy will do whatever he can to bring those things back into your life, for you to pick up that baggage again. But freedom isn't found in never struggling. It's found in consistently surrendering. We keep bringing it back to Jesus. Lamentations chapter 3, I know it's everyone's favorite book and everyone reads it daily. It's such an encouragement to everyone who reads it. But actually, this one is. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. For great is your faithfulness. I love the way the message put it. It says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. Every morning, he gives you the strength for today. His mercies are new every morning. So when loneliness and bitterness and anger and fear and doubt and all of these things try to remind you of them in the morning, you can say something like this: let God arise and my enemies be scattered. Let God arise and loneliness be scattered. Let God arise and fear be scattered. Let God arise. Let my guilt be scattered. He has a fresh supply waiting on you every morning. Real quick, what are some practical steps that we can do daily to not pick up our extra weight? We've already mentioned one of them, and that's prayer. We can say, Lord, I give you my fears. You can call it by name if you need to. But we take it to the Lord in prayer. Cast all your anxieties on him. You can also journal. This is something that I've done for years and years. I'll write out what's weighing on me. I will put victories. I will put prayer requests. I will write down what the Lord is speaking to me. You know, this is essentially what David did in the Psalms. He was writing out prayers that he was praying to the Lord and writing out songs that he was singing to the Lord. He was writing out what was weighing on him as he was talking to the Lord. You know, I love David because he's so real, right? You never have to guess what David is feeling when you're reading the Psalms. You can do the same. Write it in a journal. We can also meditate upon scripture. Now, this isn't sitting on some mat with your legs crossed going, you know, om. That's not what it means by meditating on the scripture. We take time to look at the truth in scripture rather than listen to the lies that are trying to flood our minds. Psalm 119 verse 15 tells us, he says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Jumping down to verse 23, it says, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Oh, isn't that good? Don't you love joy to the heart? The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Doing this renews our mind like it talks about in Romans chapter 12. We can also worship. Worship isn't just the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. Worship can be done at any moment, in any place. We lift our hands in surrender and allow the Lord's presence to flow over us. There are many times that I will turn everything off except maybe some music. Even then, sometimes I just sit in silence in the presence of the Lord and just allow God to fill the room. Many times I don't even have to say a thing. But I just sit and I listen and I worship. You can also share with your community. As we learned in our series on the church that we had just finished, we don't have to go through this life alone. There are people in our faith community that we can go to. We can share our burdens and pray for one another. We can check in on each other, and we don't have to be alone. But let me just say this out there. That if you do that, or if someone comes to you and shares their burdens, don't be a gossip. That's between you and the Lord and that person. Unless they specifically tell you that you can share it with others so they can pray too, it's between you and them and the Lord. Amen? But we can carry each other's burdens. Just like you can text me and say, hey, pastor, pray for me. Absolutely. I count it an honor to go to battle with you. I count it an honor to shepherd you. This isn't something that we take lightly, but we can carry each other's burdens. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it tells us, he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The Apostle Paul paints a beautiful picture here. We see that outwardly we have trials, we have tribulations, we have worries, and we even have physical troubles. But inwardly, through the power of God, through the working of the Spirit, we can be renewed day by day. Glory to God. Amen? But it's a daily choice. And if we so choose it, we can continue to travel light. As we bring this to a close this morning, reality is the freedom you want tomorrow is shaped by the surrender that you make today. I want you to imagine something. You're standing at the edge of a journey, a road marked out for you by God Himself. Ahead is peace, purpose, healing, joy, freedom. But you're standing there, arms full, dragging the weight of shame and fear, bitterness, addiction, comparison, and so on. And Jesus is standing right there with open hands, saying, you don't have to carry this another step. Come to me, and I'll carry it. The invitation today is simple and powerful. Travel light. Travel light. Because you can't run towards your future while you're dragging your past. You can't walk in freedom while gripping control. And you can't experience peace while clinging to fear. So here's the question. What are you still carrying that Jesus already paid to set you free from? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment. Some of you are here, and if you're honest, you've never really started the journey. You've been trying to make it through life on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own way. But today you hear Jesus calling you, come to me and I will give you rest. He's not asking you to clean yourself up first. He's asking you to come. He's the one that washes you white as snow. If that's you this morning, and you want to say yes to Jesus, to receive freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life, this is your moment. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. Let Him lift the weight of your sin and let Him carry you forward. If that's you this morning, would you say, would you just an uplifted hand, say, that's me. Say, that's me. Amen. So my second call is this. You know Jesus, but you've been carrying burdens He never asked you to hold. And today it's time to unpack your soul. It could be any of the things we talked about today. It could be fear, it could be guilt, it could be pressure, it could be a grudge you haven't forgiven, it could be control that you're afraid to release, or it could be anything else. But as we've mentioned already this morning, the scripture tells us to throw off everything that hinders. Not place it gently, throw it off and let it go and leave it at the altar and don't take it back with you. If that's you this morning and you've been carrying a burden for too long, you've been carrying a weight that you weren't meant to carry, and you say today, Jesus, I surrender it to you. I lay it at your feet. And I pick up your yoke that is easy and light. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me? Amen, amen, amen. Is there anyone else? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're never meant to carry a church.